Take your Bibles. Please turn to the book of Acts, chapter 5. Acts, chapter 5. We'll read verses 1 through 11 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Acts, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Acts, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And let's finish on verse 11 together. Ready? And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And let's pray. Father, thank you for so much for this church. Lord, early this morning, we woke and realized it was Sunday, and like every other Sunday, with great anticipation we came because we knew you were going to do something special. And though we don't know what it is, we know that you're going to do something. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power to listen. Change our lives. Change our hearts. And Father, may we go out and reach others because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I did not prepare today's sermon. Somebody else did. Actually, two somebodies prepared this sermon. First of all, the Holy Spirit of God prepared this sermon. But then secondly, may I remind you, I did not. Secondly, you prepared today's sermon. And I want to thank you. Thank you for contributing to the service this morning. You see, this congregation prepared today's sermon. You created it, and you'll see what I mean in just a moment. The story that we read earlier from Acts chapter number 5 is about two people, a husband and wife team named Ananias and Sapphira. They had sold a possession. It was a piece of land, and evidently they had promised to give the full amount of that sold item or that land to the Lord. They'd promised to give it to the church. They kept back for themselves a part of that money. So understand something. They made a promise. They said, we're going to sell this land. They promised it to the Lord. And then, after they sold the land, they kept back part of what they had promised. Ananias goes to the preacher to give this gift that he had promised to give. Peter says to Ananias, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Now, what had Ananias lied about? Well, I'll tell you what Ananias had lied about. Ananias had said, I am going to give this all to the Lord. And then he did not do what he had promised. You know what the Bible says? Peter said, Ananias, you have not lied to me. He said, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. He said, you didn't promise it to me. You promised it to God. Get this. In verse number 5, Ananias falls over dead. Now, this is one of those stories in the Bible that just, if I could use some teenage terminology, it kind of freaks me out. You know, some of those stories you say, wow, that is one weird story. That's exactly what you read it earlier. And I didn't write the book, I just preached the book. But here the Bible says these people had promised to do something for the Lord, and then they went back on their promise. And the Bible says when they went down and they were to do what they had promised, and they did not do what they were what they had promised, the Bible says this guy named Ananias, he falls over dead. They are carrying him out in a body bag. 3 hours later, his wife, Sapphira, shows up. Ladies, don't name your daughter Sapphira. That's a weird name, but that's her name, Sapphira. And she had no idea what all had taken place with her husband. Peter asks her, says, Sapphira, did you all sell your land for so much money? And she says yes. And so somewhere tucked in there was a lie. She lied about how much money they had sold the land for. And Peter says, now, wait a minute. You and your husband had promised to give God all of that. And now you have reneged on your promise. Peter says, your husband's dead, woman. The Bible says in verse number 10, then she falls over dead too. The Bible tells us that they took them out and they buried them side by side. In verse number 11, the Bible then says, great fear came upon all the people in that church. And I guess so. Oh, I would guess there would be great fear that would come upon the people in the church if that happened. And so you understand, this is not a fairy tale.
Right.
This really happened. A husband and wife, they say, we're going to do thus and so. We're going to do this for God. They promised to give what they promised to give. And then they decided to lie to God. They lied. And when they went in to do what they had promised to do, they did not do what they promised to do. The Bible says the man fell over dead. And then the woman comes in and she's in cahoots with her husband. And then she falls over dead and they bury them both. And when the church finds out about it, the church is in fear. And I think the Bible teaches, of course, that you can be sure the church learned some lessons from it. Let me read a verse to you. Two verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldst not vow, that thou shouldst vow and not pay. God is merely saying, don't tell me you're going to do something and not do it. Don't do that. God said you're better off not promising than promising and breaking your promise. Hey, let me tell you, some of you that are married, better off not making promises at the wedding altar than making a promise and breaking it. If you vow to be true to your mate, then you be true to your mate. In America today, we've got a big problem. There's very little integrity left. I mean, you got to have a lawyer for just about anything that you do because you can't trust anybody today because America's full of liars. It's sad. It was very sad. But God said, listen, whatever you do, don't make me a promise and then not keep that promise. He said, you're better off. You're better off not making a promise than making a promise and not keeping it. Young people right over here, you behave. And there's a young lady that if I continue to mess up my church services to correct you, I'm going to ask you not to come back to church. Because every other week, I must correct you for your behavior. And Brother Owens loves you, and I'm your friend. But I can't let you disturb the church service. So you pay attention right this way, and we'll be fine. Now, God said you're better off not making a promise than to make one and break it. Now, on Christmas Day, we told the Lord we were going to give Him some things for Christmas. Many of you this morning, you said, Lord, there's some things I'm going to do for you. I'm giving you a gift. We use these sheets. Some of you have in your hand a green page right now because you made a commitment and you just made it this morning. A bunch of you, you may still have your green paper in the back of your Bible when you promised God. I mean, you look at those. Those are like decision slips from Christmas morning. In case you all don't know, they don't have to be those little white things. There's decision slips. Now, let me tell you something about those gifts that you promised Jesus Christ. I don't think He's going to be returning any of the gifts to you. He loved your gift. Your gift fit Him just right. It was what He always wanted. He's looking forward to using the gift that you promised Him. He truly appreciated the gift. You know, you ever get a gift that you're just trying to figure out, well, what am I going to do with that, you know? It's like at a wedding when you get your 13th toaster. You're thinking, that's nice, thank you. And you know, what do you do with 13 toasters unless you have enough kids? What's so funny about that, Brother Nash? How many toasters does it take at your house? I think when you chose to give Jesus Christ a Christmas gift, his birthday gift, if you will, I think he probably said, hey, he probably told people around heaven, guess what Rusty Ewan promised me for Christmas? Guess what Andrew Lowe gave me for Christmas? Hey, I got my wife some jewelry for Christmas, and I figured something out. If you give a woman jewelry, they always like it, it's not hard to store, and they will never return it. It's a really neat gift to give. Now, you know something? We return some gifts. Did you know a lot of people return gifts the week after Christmas? The lines are long and crazy at the service desk. I checked some statistics on this thing from a place called Scripps Howard Poll. Did you know that 42% of people between the ages of 18 and 34 years of age will return gifts the week after Christmas? 39% of the people between 35 and 44 will return gifts. 33% of the people aged 45 and up are going to return gifts, and retailers will lose about $16 billion from those that return gifts. Some retailers say they lose billions of dollars because of processing the returns or retagging the returns or reselling the item. Nearly one-third of the people in America return something after Christmas. But guess what? Jesus is not going to return one gift that you promised to give him for Christmas. He wants it all. Amen. He wants it all. Jesus doesn't want you to take that gift away from him. Jesus did not want you to withhold that gift from him. I went through, and actually I had someone on my staff help me. Of course, there are no names on any of these. This great big pile right here, I went through, and so you know, we looked at every page. Everyone. Now, of course, we've not had a chance to glance at what's on the new pages that were promised this morning, but get this. You made a Christmas gift to Jesus Christ. If you were not here on Christmas morning, let me tell you something. It was an incredible morning. You should have seen when we, at the end of the service, gave our altar call, and I said, anybody that's chosen to make a decision for God this morning and a gift, come forward. I mean, you couldn't get down the aisles. There were people everywhere coming down the aisle, and there were red gifts to Jesus here at the foot of the pulpit. They were just everywhere. Not including this morning, and these numbers will go up incredibly, that morning we made 6,007 promises to God in this church. Hey, what church wouldn't like to have 6,007 decisions in one altar call? But that's exactly what took place. That is not an exaggeration. That is an exact number. That was for that morning. That's not including this morning. Many of those gifts, many of those promises to Jesus Christ, were first-time promises, meaning they were people that were starting something or changing something. They'd never changed it before. They'd never started it before. They'd never done it before. I wonder something. I wonder how many people made New Year's resolutions a week ago, and you've already gone back on your promise. It's just been 7 days. I wonder how many people promised Jesus at Christmas time at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church on Christmas morning. You filled out a little piece of paper and said, I'm giving a gift to Jesus Christ. You walked down an aisle, you filled it out, you put it on the altar. And already, you've gone back on your promise to God. Already, you play an Indian giver. Well, listen, Jesus doesn't want to return one of the gifts you gave him. When your heart was tender enough for you to say, Jesus, I'm giving you a gift for Christmas. I give everybody else something, and I get something, and I'm giving you something. Then Jesus says, I want to keep that. I like the gift you gave me. I want you to give me that gift. I enjoyed that gift. And again, so you know, I didn't even prepare this sermon. You did. Let me tell you what you promised Jesus Christ. First of all, a whole bunch of you promised to start going soul winning. Go sowing. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, this morning there were more people that probably joined this promise. Some of these are people that maybe were already going soul winning, but many were people who are not going soul winning, and they gave that to Jesus as a Christmas gift, and they said, Jesus, I'm going to start going out and telling others about Jesus Christ. 151 people said, I'm going to start going soul winning. Well, that's incredible. So, just so you know, we meet Thursday night, 6:45. We meet Saturday at 9 a.m. Now, I do not think that the Thursday night meeting grew by 150 plus people. Don't you forget, though, if you told Jesus you were giving him the gift of becoming a soul winner, then you need to go soul winning. Keep your promise. I think when Jesus seen that promise from you, I think he said, oh, I've been waiting. This is what I always wanted. They had one. They had it in my color. They had it in my size. And you got it. Oh, this is great. I wanted the gift. Thank you so much. He's not returning it. He's not standing in the line of the Christians that go back on their word with a little pink ticket saying, I'm waiting in line for the return. No, he wants it. You gave it to him. It's his. You ever given a kid a sucker and then try to take it away? You're better off not doing that. He wanted that. He's excited about that. And if you made a promise, if I recommended you gave Jesus something for Christmas, that you follow through. Not only that, the second page here, or actually the second note, it talks about under soul winning. It says, I promise to attempt to win blank number of souls to Christ in 2006. Now, you go soul winning, that's one thing. It's another thing when you say, I actually intend on doing everything I can to influence people, and I'm going to try to get a bunch of people saved. Guess how many souls were promised that morning? 4,125 souls were given to Jesus that morning where we said, I'm going to go out and win somebody to Jesus Christ. That's just one Christmas gift. And I think he really likes that. I think he says, you know something, I died for people. I lived 33 and a half sinless years. I was crucified and I was buried and I rose again. And the fact that you're going to get people saved, he says, that brings glory to me. And so, you know, he's not giving the gift back. He's not giving that gift back. He's not returning that gift. No returns on the Christmas gifts given to Jesus around here. Just think how he could brag about our church saying, Jesus could go, he could go to any part of heaven and say, hey, can I tell you what they gave me down at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church for Christmas? Most of heaven said, you got something? That's odd. Those people down on earth, all they do is give each other stuff. But you? The birthday boy actually got a gift from a church? Wow, we ought to keep an eye on that church down there. And they do. And I think everybody in heaven is looking over the banister right now saying, there they go again. Look at that service. Isn't that different? What's happening down there? Jesus said, yeah, they gave me over 4,000 souls they're going to try to win to Christ as a gift. Pretty nice gift, huh? Jesus said, I'm not taking it back. Do you understand something? That's 343 people saved a month. That's 80 a week. That's 12 a day. That's one every other hour. I mean, if they got a big bell in heaven that rings every time somebody gets saved, every hour there's going to be a big ding and somebody's going to say, what's that? But they got them another one saved down there at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, kept somebody else out of hell. Hey, and that's what church is really supposed to be all about. Are we supposed to be keeping people out of hell? Either there is or there's not a hell, and if there is, we better do something about it. And so, a promise to go soul winning? Don't return it. Souls being saved in 2006, not only that. The third thing on here was a promise of a one-time extra Christmas love offering of money. It says here, I promise to give a one-time special offering above my tithe to our church in the amount of. And here's somebody that put 50 cents on this one. Now, let me tell you something. If you promise Jesus to give him 50 cents, that's his now. That's his gift. You gave him a gift. That one Sunday morning, $5,500 were promised. And this morning, there was more money promised above the tithe. Have you made good your promise? You should. Had he given it yet? I would do it right away. Did you know you can't outgive God?
Hey,
and just so you know, I'm not up here preaching to you. All I'm doing is reminding you what you said. So that's all. You say, well, I don't like this. I'll blame everybody else. Don't blame me today. Hey, I feel good about this morning's sermon. You want to get mad at somebody? Yeah, look right now. Look at the person sitting beside you. Look at them. And go like this. Go. Do that. It's your fault. Stupid idiot sitting right beside you. Can't believe they made these kind of promises to God. Ananias and Sapphira made some sort of a promise on a gift. It didn't turn out real well for them when they were Indian givers. Hey, no matter how small it was, you promised it. If you want to, if it make you feel better on your offering envelope, you just put down there that it was your Christmas gift to Jesus. You can do that. And remember, it's above the tithe. Not only that, some of you promised to do whatever it takes to get involved and to become role models and involved here at this church to serve in its ministries. There's a place here that says, service to God. I promise to do whatever it takes to get involved and actually serve in our church's ministries. 234 people said, it's time for me to get involved. It's time. It's time. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God said, you ought to do whatever it takes to get involved. If that means to clean up your life or to change something about your life, you ought to. We're saying 234 people, you add the ones that got in on this special project this morning, there's far more than 234. You said, I'll change my life if I need to be used of God in the church. I'll change my life if I need to, so I can serve God better. And so, you know, you say, oh, God, He'll use anyone. Oh, He will. But to what degree? To what degree? And let me tell you, some of those things you need to do. If you're sitting here and you say, boy, I really would like to get involved around here, first thing you need to do is make sure you're saved. If you've been saved, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism after your salvation. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion after your salvation, you need to make sure you're a member of this church. You need to be loyal to this church and its leadership. You need to be, as we said, it's time for some of you to straighten some things out financially. You need to be concerned about the souls of men, and you need to separate from the world and a worldly lifestyle and worldly entertainments. And you need to be faithful to church. And I'll tell you something, if you'll do those things, it won't be long. God will start using you in the church to help lead and to get things done around this place. And 234 people prior to this morning's number of commitments said, that's what I'm willing to do. All right, then, if I were you, I'd keep your promise. We have a tape that you can order back there at our tape table called, I called a sermon, Help, I Need Role Models. You see, I won't just put anybody up in front of others. They have to have a sincere desire and a sincere walk with God to where they're doing everything they can to keep their life clean. And so you get that tape, though. It'll tell you some of the things that you need to do. But you just listen to the preaching. And if you're one of those people that said, I'll do whatever it takes, you promise, you gave that to Jesus, He's not returning that gift. Oh, no, there's no return. Not only that. There's a bunch of people who promise to begin their tithing. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. 110 people said, I'm going to start tithing. Oh, that's amazing. Now, I want you all to think back to that morning. Is there anybody here, did I come down there and take a gun, put it to your head and say, you mark that spot on the paper? Not at all. Was there a high pressure this morning? Not at all. You chose it. Now, if you chose that, I'd do it. You know, I did not preach. I did not preach to you this morning when you signed this little piece of paper about what you're going to do for God. Or that morning, we didn't put on you the doom and the gloom pressure.
If you don't, God will kill you.
I didn't do that.
If you don't, you'll go bald.
A couple of you obviously don't. You've already gone bald.
If you don't, ugly will come all over your face.
My staff are disobedient. You can tell by looking at the face. No, we didn't do that. You looked at it. You said, I'm going to promise God. I'm going to do that. I didn't talk you into it. I didn't talk anybody into any of this. I just got up and said, you ought to give Jesus something for Christmas. And you said, I will. I didn't preach thunder and lightning and brimstone out of heaven. Not at all. You did it. You say, I don't like when preacher talks about money. And talk about people around you. 110 of them said, this is what we're doing. Some even promised to make up for stealing God's money. Keep your promise. You might not have taken it seriously, but I'll guarantee you, God did. God took it seriously. If you said, Jesus, I'm giving you this, you men, you know, just promise your wife a certain gift. Now, this is probably a bad illustration because half of you probably have promised your wife a certain gift and then not gave it to her. Well, she'll nag at you, man. You better off just producing. Get that thing over with. But you promised. Hey, some of you promised to take a sin out of your life for Jesus. I'm going to list every sin that this congregation promised that they would take out of their life for Jesus Christ. You promised. I didn't pick these at random. I love the ones you pick. They're really good. You said, Jesus, this is what I'm giving you for Christmas. And Jesus is very pleased. He is so excited about what you said you were giving him for Christmas. He's not returning it. Nope. He doesn't want a gift card with a credit. He wants what you promised him. He likes it. He loves it. He's thrilled about it. For some, you started and he wants the rest of it. For some, he said, all right, this must be the week. This is when you're going to do what you said you're going to do. But it's a Christmas gift, remember, not a Valentine's gift. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse number 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Somebody, many, many, many somebodies, dozens and dozens of somebody said, I'm going to take care of my temper and my anger problem. Oh, what a wonderful gift, because that's not only a gift to Jesus Christ, that's a gift to your wife. That's a gift to your husband. It's a gift to your children. I think Jesus said, wow, I've been waiting on him to give that temper up. I've been waiting on him to get that right. I've been waiting on her to get that. Oh, wow. I think Jesus, you know, you get something that you really like and you hold it up to yourself and say, boy, that's precious to me. I think Jesus took your gift of temper and said, oh, God, that's good. God, look what I got. She's going to conquer the temper. What a gift. Many of you gave up the negative attitude and complaining as a gift. It's a sin, so you know. A negative attitude and complaining all the time is a sin. Many of you said, I'm going to stop being negative. I'm going to stop complaining. Now, wait. Some of you promised that. You marked it on the little piece of paper and you gave it to Jesus. And he feels a little cheated for the last 2 weeks because all you've done is complain since you said you're going to do that. You'll even complain about something this morning at the end of this sermon. When you just marked the paper and said, I'm going to stop being negative and complaining. Oh, but what a gift. I think Jesus looked at it and he said, I'll tell you something. She has been negative. She can find something negative and wrong with anything. I think Jesus says, boy, when she gets here in heaven, we're going to have to keep an eye on her. This is a perfect place, but I'm not sure she's going to find a flaw. He is so negative. This is going to be great for me, Jesus says. But boy, is his wife going to enjoy it. Boy, are his kids, they're finally going to get some praise. And there's finally going to be some positive down there in his life. Wow. Many of you gave up the sin of not being faithful to your prayer life. And I'm glad you did. That's a great gift for Jesus because he wants to spend time with you. Have you? Did you promise him you're going to be faithful in your prayer life? You've been praying? And you know what you meant by that. You meant more than just praying over your breakfast. You meant more than that. Now, did you give him a gift? And now are you standing in the service line, get your little pink sticker and say, well, we're returning this one. No, Jesus is not returning any of them. He's expecting to receive what you promised to give. Here, many dozens and dozens, they put down obedience to the Word of God. Now see, the very first statement here is, I promise to take the following sins out of my life. I didn't even provide the sins. This is something that was between you and God. You and God. You did that in private. You didn't write your name on it. It's something you knew was in your life. It's something you needed to take care of, and you promised it. Here's another one, to get along with my family members. Dozens of people. Being faithful to my Bible reading. Now you promised him you're going to do that. You gave it to him for Christmas. Well, how are you doing with it? Did you promise that? Did you give it? Here's another. Gossip. I'm giving up gossip. Now, if you promised him you're going to give up gossip, there ought to be dozens of people say, I promise that. I'm doing that. And it's time for somebody to even render an apology for what you said already this last week. Because you promised. You gave that to him. Here's another. Thoughtfulness and being kind to others. Now, I want you to think back to the way you drove this week. Think back when you were standing in the exchange line and how you behaved as you were exchanging all your other Christmas gifts. Here's one, pride. Many people said, I've got a pride problem. We probably all should have marked that one, huh? But we all didn't recognize we had the problem at the time. You said, I've got a pride problem, and I need to take care of that pride problem. And Jesus, for your Christmas gift this year, I will go to work on my pride, and I am going to fix this sin. Are you doing what you promised? Was it a pride problem that kept you from ever using this old-fashioned altar because you wouldn't want anyone to think you're a sinner? So you don't. That's just for the really bad ones. We're all really bad ones. Here's someone that gave up smoking and the use of tobacco. Many of them. Many, many. You say, Brother Owens, do you think smoking's a sin? I don't think it's the smartest thing you've ever done. Probably if God wanted you to smoke, he would have put a smoke snack on top of your head. You say, will it send you to hell? No, but it'd make your breath smell like you've been eating on it. Eating on what, hell? You say, they satisfied. Then why did they put so many in a pack? Here's somebody said, I'm giving up my lying. Here's someone said, I'm giving up stealing. Somebody said, I'm going to give up stealing. And some young person, you still got in your mama's purse and took something that didn't belong to you this week. Somebody said, I'm giving up cheating. And so, you know, many people on these, many. Here's someone, I'm giving up bad language. You said to Jesus Christ, Jesus, I will not use your name in vain. It is my promise. God's last name is not damn. You have no right to use my Savior's name that way. Use your mother's name, but don't use my God's name. Bad language. Here's selfishness listed here. Here's someone that said, I'm giving to Jesus Christ the gift of I'm going to love my spouse like I'm supposed to. Boy, what good gifts. My wife is a shopping maniac. At certain times of the year, she must be restrained. She likes buying things. I think all women do. It all depends on how much the man can restrain the woman. You say, well, your wife get a lot of stuff? Yeah, but I'm really working at it, fellas. But I'll tell you something. When we had our Christmas gift exchange, we had so much fun and there were things everywhere and people were smiling and having a good time. I like to give. And, of course, all of us, that we have that part of us that likes to receive. I picture Jesus Christ in heaven this morning. You know what? He got a belated Christmas gift. This morning, all of you that filled out one of these, I think Jesus up there, he's cranking open the gift saying, oh, wow, I got another one of these, and I got one of those a couple weeks ago. Here's one. I've been waiting to get that from her. This is fantastic. He's excited about what he received. He's excited about it. Here, someone said, I'm giving up the sin of lust and bad thoughts about the opposite sex. And I'm not talking about just one person now. On these, there's more than one person in many instances, many, many, many people. And it's time for some of you to make that decision and say, Lord, I've got a lust problem and it needs to be taken care of. But if you promised it, you better do what you promised. Here's someone talking about worrying and depression. And I'm gonna conquer that in my life. I like this one. Here's many people have said, I've got a problem with laziness, and I promised to Jesus that as a gift, I would conquer my laziness. Now let me ask you a question. Did you get up like you're supposed to get up? Did you clean the house like you're supposed to clean the house? Did you work hard like you're supposed to work hard? Are you going forward like you're supposed to go forward? If you promised it, it's a gift. You gave it. You gave the gift. Here's someone talking about being, of course, this goes with one of the others, but being faithful to their soul winning and witnessing. Here's someone, there's someone giving up rock music and country music, many of them. You say, well, what's wrong with that? You won't have to be a brain surgeon to figure out what's wrong with them. Here's someone that says, I'm giving up procrastination. I don't mean one, I mean many someones. Procrastination, putting it off and putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Here someone says, I'm going to learn to trust Christ more with my life. Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Here's many people, the sin of gluttony. See, the Bible says you're better off not to vow a vow than to vow a vow and to break it. I did not promise to give up gluttony. You did, dumb bunny. Out of all of these, why that one? Here's another, a drug addiction. Many. There are people in this congregation, if you're a visitor here today, you say, man, what kind of people are in this church? Let me tell you something, some of the holiest people you'll meet. You don't go to many churches where you find people that are willing to do and give up and do what's right like this. Where are you? Those of you that are tampering and playing with drugs, and those of you that are addicted, and some of you that are addicted, you've got yourself messed up even on your prescription drugs to the point you're taking them like you're not to take them. You're using them like you should not use them, and that's wrong. Where are you? You promised God, now do what you promised. Hey, it's His Christmas gift. I didn't write one of these. You wrote them. This whole sermon. You wrote the sermon, not me. I'm just telling you what you told God you'd do. Here's another one. Pornography. Internet, magazines, and DVDs. Got a question for you. You put them in the trash? Did you burn them? Did you get rid of them? You told Him... Said, Jesus, for Christmas, I'm getting rid of this trash in my life. Did you do what you told Him you were going to do? It's not. You reneged on your gift to Jesus. You might as well walk up to Him and yank it right out of His hand. Say, hey, God, no way. I changed my mind. If not, I guess you ought to give Him what you promised you'd give Him. Here's somebody that's going to work on forgiveness. Here's somebody that's giving up the sin of unfaithfulness to God. There are three that were unspoken, where people said, I'm not telling you what it is, but there's something in my life. It's got to go. It's ruining me, and I'm fixing it. Here's someone that's going to the movies, said, I'm giving up that association to Hollywood. Here's some people, and a lot of people need to make this promise. I'm going to start spending more time with my family. Get this. The paper says, I promise to take the following sin or sins out of my life. I'm not calling it a sin to ignore your family. You call it a sin to ignore your family. I'm not calling it a sin to smoke. You call it a sin to smoke. I didn't call your gossip a sin. You called your gossip a sin. I didn't call your procrastination sin. You called your procrastination a sin. Not me. You can't get mad at me today. Now the other 51 weeks, I'm in for it. I didn't prepare this sermon. I'm just telling you what happened that day. Here's someone that's giving up adultery. Wherever you are, You're committing adultery. It's sin and it's wrong and you already know it. You need to get it right with God. And if you need help, you come see me and I'll help you. Here's some women that are giving up the wearing of pants. Here's someone that says, I am very irresponsible. I'm promising God I'll become responsible. Here's someone that's giving up gambling. Here's someone that's going to fix their bad debt. There are people who are giving up speeding. There are people giving up fighting in school. There are people giving up bad television. And if I had time, I could go through all the rest of the ones that were turned in today. It's what you gave Jesus for Christmas, not what I gave Jesus for Christmas. It's what you said you were going to do. It's what you said you were going to get right with God about. Then not only that, some of you promised to be faithful to God in church. 279 people said, it's time for me to start coming to Sunday school like I should. Now, there are some, you already coming, you might have marked that box, but there are some of you who said, I've not been coming to Sunday school, I'm supposed to come to Sunday school, and I'll be here at 9:45, and I'll be in Sunday school where I'm supposed to be. Now, keep your promise. You gave it as a gift. Many said, I need to be faithful to the morning service. 276 people. 240 people said, I'll start coming. If I'm not already, I'll start coming to Sunday night church. Just so you know, starts at 7 p.m. on the dot. 231 said, it's time for me to start showing up for Wednesday night church. You promised that. And a whole bunch of you should have. You shouldn't have skipped that on the paper. Jesus did want the gift. You gave a gift. Now, these are gifts. These are things that we ought to do anyway. Did you show up for Sunday school like you're supposed to? Would you be here tonight or Wednesday night? Listen, I think Jesus is expecting the gifts that we promised. No returns. You walk into Walmart and you'll have your greeter. And if you have a package to exchange, he'll come over. He's got a little tape gun. He pulls the trigger on that tape gun. Out pops a little pink ticket or an orange ticket. They slap it on your product and say, now, you go over there and stand in the service desk in the line. And boy, they even get some extra lines when it's return time. Guess what? Jesus is not standing in line with anybody or anything you promised. He wants every one of them. He wants it all. He likes every little penny, every little child promise, every sin you promised to get out of your life, every bit of faithfulness you promised to give God for Christmas. He wants it all. He likes it all. He loves it all. He expects it all. You gave it to Him. I'm just here to remind you what you promised Jesus for Christmas. That's all. No return stickers on one single piece of paper. Not one single package that was packaged up for Jesus Christ should have a return sticker on it. No returns of the gifts that we promised to give the Savior for Christmas. But I wonder how many of you already have gone back on a New Year's resolution that you made just 7 days ago. I wonder how many have forgotten what you promised Jesus that you'd give Him for Christmas, either on Christmas morning or this morning. Again, this is the easiest sermon I ever preached. I'll have to write the church a check, give you back a little money for my sermon preparation for the week. Well, let me compliment you. What a phenomenal sermon you wrote. Boy. It's been a good sermon today. You know, I'm not complimenting me. I'm complimenting you. You folks sure can prepare powerful sermons. You know it? Ananias and Sapphira said, we're going to do it. They didn't. And Peter said, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And in their case, they both fell over dead. He said, brother, aren't you telling me I'm going to fall over dead if I don't do what God said? Nah, I wouldn't even predict that will happen. That's probably what Peter said back then, too. I wouldn't even predict that ever happened. Now, if you talk to Ananias and Sapphira, they're going to tell a little different story. But am I predicting that? No. But if you take it up with Ananias and Sapphira, they'd say, it's a possibility. Not one we ever considered. If you're here today and you're not saved, if I were you, I'd get saved. That's something you could do. It'd be a good move. You won't straighten up your life to get saved. You straighten up your life because God saves you. He'll then empower you to do what you ought to do. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you do not know that, I wish you'd get saved. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for sin. Jesus paid that penalty with His death, burial, and resurrection. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to trust Him. So if you're here today and you're not on your way to heaven, we invite you to the Savior. Is there anybody here today to say, you know what, I need to be born again. I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ. Maybe you come to church wanting to find God and you say, that's what I want. I want to go to heaven when I die. Remember, cleaning up your life is not going to get you to heaven. Salvation is by grace through faith. It is a gift that He gives to you. He will help you to clean up your life later after He comes into your heart. Becomes the power and the strength that you need on the inside. But if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you need to get born again. Who here would say, preacher, that's what I need. I need to get saved. I need to get born again. Pray for me, preacher, that I'd be born again, that I'd get saved. Will you raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to be saved. I see that hand. Who else? You say, I need to be saved. I need to be born again. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have an old-fashioned altar call, just like we did on Christmas morning. As you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, here's what's going to happen. In a second, I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. The choir will begin to sing. We'll stand to our feet. The men that are standing on this platform will leave the platform, and they'll stand on the lower level down front at the end of each aisle. And if you're not born again, you say, excuse me, to the person to the right or to the left of you. You step out. You walk toward the front. You walk up to one of these men and say, I need to be saved. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Those of you that raised your hand, that's what you ought to do. There'll be other people coming. You'll not be alone. If you're in the balcony, you just step out, you walk down the back staircase, and you come right back into this auditorium. Again, you will not be alone. Others will be coming. Somebody here needs to follow the Lord in believer's baptism after your salvation. It's been eating at you. You know you need to care for that. Let's take care of it this morning. Somebody here that's been saved, you and maybe you've been baptized, maybe there's some sin in your life. Hey, maybe somebody here needs to come down here and get on your knees and say, you know what, I promise God I'm going to do something, and this morning I'm recommitting to do what I promised God. Maybe that's you. I don't know. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, please sing a song of invitation. If you need this altar, you come. Hey, what did you fill out on the red sheet? What did you promise God on the red sheet? What did you say you were going to give Jesus for Christmas? You've already gone back on it. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just telling you what you said, reminding me what you said. I didn't write the sermon. All I did was basically read it. And if you're not saved, leave your place, walk down this aisle, walk up to one of these men, say, I need to be born again. If you're saved and you never follow the Lord in believer's baptism, let's take care of that. Hey, you're sitting in this church. It's time for somebody to join the church. You've been saved, you've been baptized, but you've never transferred your membership. Now, don't be confused. This is an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible Baptist church. That's what we are. But we don't want you to come on false pretenses. We're not trying to fool anybody. We're not trying to fake anybody out. We're not trying to trick anybody. You ask anybody that knows us, we are what we are. Are you saved? Have you called the Lord in believer's baptism? Maybe somebody here needs to say, you know something? I should have given more to Jesus for Christmas. Maybe it's time for you to step it up. I call this sermon, No Returns on Gifts to Jesus. No Returns on Gifts to Jesus. Of all those additional gifts were promised this morning. I'm sure hundreds, just hundreds. Here's someone from this morning that says, I'd like to see 100 people saved for my soul winning this year alone. Here's someone that says, I need to take some bad language out of my life and start attending church more regularly. Here's a promise of a one-time special offering from this morning. Here's a laziness decision. $100 one-time gift. Somebody that's going to do whatever it takes to get involved. There's another $20 gift. Here's a $2 one-time gift. Here's a tithe. I'm going to begin tithing. Promises to be at church every service. Winning 10 people to Christ. I'm going to stop sneaking behind my parents' back. What a good decision. I'm going to start coming to church like I should. And gifts to Jesus financially. Doing whatever it takes to get involved in the church. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to promise to begin tithing. Jesus takes every one of these seriously. I'm going to get away from my worldly attachments. I'm going to separate from the world and Satan's crowd, someone says. I'm going to stop holding grudges. I'm going to start dressing right. I'm going to win 4 people to Jesus Christ. Continue to sing, choir. What was your promise? All I want to remind you of is if you gave Jesus something for Christmas, you ought to follow through on the gift that you gave him. And I realize we're a couple of weeks into the new year. I realize Christmas is in December, but I think he's still expecting the gift. Another pride. I'm giving up the pride in my life. One more time through the song choir, those of you that are taking names, be thorough but be quick. If you're not saved, why don't you come? We'll take the Bible and show you how to be born again. It's a great way to start the new year. I like this one here. Somebody says, I'm going to win 7 people to Christ and get them into church regularly as I follow up on them. Thank you, choir. Thank you, congregation.